Well, we are joined by New York royalty, the owner of WABC, John Katsimatidis. Welcome, John. And also NYPD royalty. We have Chief of Patrol Shell with us, and with the three stars and the beautiful uniform, Chief Shell. Welcome to WABC. It's an honor to meet you.
Complete pleasure to be here.
Thank you, sir. How are we doing? Listen, we support the NYPD Blue. I know I sometimes grumble about certain things, but we love you guys. We want the very best. How's the NYPD right now?
NYPD is in a very good place. The cops are really working hard for the city, as you could see. You know, the daily movement of 8 million people and trying to bring crime down like we are, and unfortunately dealing with the protests now on our college campuses, which is quite disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, it's amazing. Can I just go back, way back when you went to the police academy, why did you join the police department?
I tell you, it's a great question. All my friends were doing it, and I was kind of like this, hanging out in the 20s. I go, let me try this, and the rest is history. It's been a wonderful career, just a great, great job, and 31 years into it, I still feel like I'm a rookie.
And look, obviously you're a New Yorker, we can tell. Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, you said, right?
Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
What high school?
Severian High School, the home of the Clippers.
Now, what would you say, you got a lot on your plate. Chief of Patrol, what does that actually mean? Like, who reports to you? It's a big job, but what is the difference between, say, the Chief of Transit or the Chief of the Department or whatever?
So I'm in charge of all the uniforms out in the street, all 77 police precincts, about 19,000 people altogether. So it's a 24/7 job every minute of the day. And I got to keep these cops in a good place mentally and support them and fight the good fight every day.
Chief John Shell, can you tell us a little bit about, you got family? They must be very proud.
My wonderful wife, Stephanie, is 16 years. I got four children right now. Two of my sons still live with me. I called them squatters last week on national TV, but the rent has been coming in. But lucky to have a great family, healthy kids, and I'm blessed.
Well, I know that cops are under fire. By the way, I was on 6th Avenue in Central Park South today, and they had just made the street wide, and I'm like, what's going on? And three cops were there, and they told me, a lot of cops were there, but they were the nicest, and they looked professional, and they told me about Joe Biden being in town. How much does that tax the NYPD these days? I he comes here a lot, and so did Obama. It's a thing that you guys got to deal with. Is it a headache? Is it not a problem? Big a problem? What?
You know, with 34,000 strong, we deal with this every day. Does it pose a problem for us? Sure. We got to shut down traffic. We have to dedicate staffing. It's a volatile situation all the time, but we're good at this. We do it well between protests and presidents and crime and everything else happens in the middle. 24/7, 365.
All right. Hey, can you tell us about your first arrest? I always find that
my first arrest?
Yeah.
Avenue D in Notion Avenue, September 94, suspended license.
So you arrested a guy for that?
Yeah, suspended license on a checkpoint. I remember like it was yesterday, blue Cadillac.
A blue Cadillac. Well, actually, you know, driving with a suspended license is kind of a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? You know your license is suspended. You shouldn't be driving.
It was the first time I put handcuffs on somebody. The first time we had the fingerprint card, so we have to actually ink fingerprint. I think the sergeant ripped up my cards about five times. An arrest I should have taken about an hour and a half, took me about 5 hours. I was just a rookie.
John Katsimatidis, you've seen them all. You've seen the Chiefs come and go. I think this guy's going to be here for a long time.
Well, I want to know, when Greg's dad, Commissioner Kelly, was working, where were you under Commissioner Kelly?
Oh, I was a police officer, detective, a sergeant, lieutenant, captain. I'll tell you a story about your dad, and he'll remember this. We got the first ever plate reader card, reads your license plates, 2007. I had to come down, and your father met me quietly. He was quiet. He was very businesslike. I met him in the parking lot. And the license plate reader would zap on stolen plates or not registered. We didn't make it out of the parking lot on 1PP, and a couple of people had some registrations that went out in line. And your father went, oh, my goodness. I go, I won't tell if you won't tell.
Oh, you mean people, cops?
Members of the department.
Members of the department. So they, I don't know. So this thing worked almost too well. Too well.
And he was leaning between the seats. He's like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Hey, listen, there are all kinds of exciting appointments happening over there. I got to admit, maybe I jumped to conclusions. I keep hearing good things about Kaz Daughtry. Is he, that he's very organized and strategic. I've never met him. He seems to be everywhere, quite frankly, with you. You guys, tell us a little bit about that guy.
He's a guy that went from detective to deputy commissioner, and quite frankly, behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, he makes things happen. And, he takes a lot of unfair criticism because of his rise, but he deserves it, and it is what it is.
I actually saw him on TV, and he pointed out, and I hadn't noticed it myself, that the tents up at Columbia and the tents at NYU and the tents at the colleges, they're all the same tents. All these.
Somebody bought it for them?
Could somebody?
I'm shocked.
Could one person be coordinating? Could this be fueled by money? All of this anti-Israel hysteria? Is that possible, Chief?
That's possible. And Commissioner Daughtry, I believe, said that in open air. He goes, wow, all these tents look the same. This is being funded from someone.
Chief, how can we help? How can we, is there anything regular people can do to help the NYPD, to help our city? Anything come to mind?
Just the proper narrative. Keep people informed. New Yorkers are the smartest, most resilient people. They should know what's going on. They should know what's going on factually and make their decisions down the road what they want to do. Mm. Okay, we have to make some change here. But we're heading in the right direction. We wish it could be faster. But we're up against a lot of different things that we have to deal with.
Yeah, right.
I'll just ask one question.
Please.
When I spoke to the governor and I spoke to the mayor about it, and my number one concern is my employees in Gristades and D'Agostino that work till midnight sometimes. And I hope the new law that they passed in Albany was going to do some good. Well, any opinions on that?
Is that for the smoke shops?
No, that's for the retail workers.
Listen, anytime you could protect retail workers from assault, we'll take it all the time, every time. And I think upstate, I know upstate, I don't think, we have some new rules coming with smoke shops that are going to really affect some change in regards to those cannabis shops that every community in the city hates,
right?
No matter where you are. So we're making some moves. We got some progress. We got a long way to go. But I tell you, in 2024, how these cops get it done every day compared to what it used to be is remarkable, and I'm quite honored to be their leader.
You mentioned four kids. Can I ask you something? Anybody here? I have two and four, right? I'm a relatively new father. How do you go to let's face it, they're a huge handful. We love them. How do you go to three? How do you go to four? How do you, I kind of understand already. They're so cute. You want more, but
they're not cute anymore. Okay. First and foremost, they don't understand the cell phone bill, and you must remove yourself from the cell phone bill at a proper age. And know what changes from two to three? The McDonald's bill. You watch. If you have a third child, that McDonald's bill goes up exponentially for a third child.
Well, my wife, they're not aware yet of McDonald's, and we're going to try to keep them away. Although I go to McDonald's a lot, that's a bill. Chief, it's great talking to you. Just real quick, this weekend, any big events, any major events coming?
No, we're going to watch the college grounds and make sure that it's safe until the colleges make a decision what they want to do. The weather's supposed to be nice, so that's.
What do you mean, what they want to do?
Well, when it comes to the colleges, it's private property. We can go enforce any crimes being broken on campuses, but in terms of school rules, and breaking those rules, that's up to them. If they want us to come on the Columbia campus like we did last Thursday, they have to give it to us in writing, and we'll do so. But we can't just arbitrarily go up there and remove people for, the First Amendment hate speech, which is disgusting. But
right.
That's those rules. We can't just do that. And that's what the frustration lies with what we can do and what we can't do. And the public kind of has a problem understanding sometimes. It's private properties. We have to be asked to come on that property to enforce not their rules, but the trespassing once they say we want them off.
No, I saw a press conference. I think it was might have been Shepard Daughtry, the legal guy.
Yeah, Mike Garber. Yeah, excellent.
They were very
excellent.
And they spelled that out very clearly. And my dad was like, "This is how it works. This is it. This is," and it makes a lot of sense. And you may find what they say horrible, but it is a constitutional right. You are free to be wrong. But you're not free to harm anybody.
Let me tell you something. If we were allowed to lock up everyone who perpetrated in hate speech, we would do it all day, every day if you allowed to.
Right, right. No, that's up to Colombia, though. Colombia has, I think, every right to say, and you probably can't weigh in on this, but if they are running around saying, you know, genocide and kill the Jews, if I ran Colombia, it's a private institution, the First Amendment doesn't exist on my institution. Like, you don't have a constitutional right to be a student at Columbia or a faculty member at Columbia, but that's not a law enforcement thing.
Well, it's
thing.
Funny that's you a, said it. I just posted something, but you know, actions have consequences. You should probably be expelled from my school, and if you're a teacher who is involved in this, you should probably be fired. Those are consequences for hate speech that they can control.
Let me ask you this though, and I good people can disagree and have a debate about it. Social media. I'm a little bit concerned. You know, look, I was a maniac on social media for a while, and then I had to dial it way back. And you get into these fights and these feuds, and it feels good, and it's interesting, and it's kind of fun. My ultimate conclusion is it's a distraction for me, and I fear that for certain police executives, if they start tweeting at people and that kind of thing, it could become its own beast. It could become a distraction. What do you think?
Well, look, number one, we're human beings and we're professionals. And we're just not going to sit back anymore and let people of stature, if you will, just have free rein at saying false comments, disingenuous comments about our cops. I'm not going to allow it. I'm going to try to stay as professional as I can. But sometimes you got to push back on some just anti-rhetoric. Some of the print media hates the police department. And we're going to push back. And I think I said publicly, we're not going to be a punching bag. And this punching bag has arms now. And we're going to fight back a little bit.
Well, respectfully, be careful. Because when the police start weighing in on critics of the police, there is perhaps an ounce of force. For instance, you guys have guns. Guys with guns start criticizing people who write about the police department. That can have a kind of a chilling effect, conceivably. But, hey, you have a First Amendment right, too. So, and I know you're going to do the right thing. Chief John Schell, it's really an honor to meet you. And good luck to all your officers. And let's not break the law, okay? How does that sound? Let's – and pay – last thing. How's the subway evasion stuff going?
I say it. First of all, just to quickly with Subway, the turnaround that took place has taken place up 46% in January. We're down about 5% for the year. Tremendous enforcement.
46.5 on what? Subway
crime?
So
crime was up in 46% in January. Big number. Plus 46. Now we're down 5.
I'm just talking about jumping the
turnstile. Oh, jumping the turnstile. The enforcement's ready to the roof. Unfortunately, again, rule changes. We give summonses. But we are catching people with guns, people who are wanted, murder parolees. And I think collectively that enforcement, added with a couple other strategies, has now gotten us to a place where the numbers are down, but we got to make people feel safe. That's the struggle, making everyday New Yorkers feel safe.
Chief John Schell, thank you very much. And say hi to Kaz.
I will. You better have him on the show, and then, I mean, it's great. Come on, we're a duo. We're a team.
Well, where the hell is he?
He's out there somewhere.
Batman and Robin aren't always together. I get it. You're a Batman, though, and he's Robin. Thank you, sir, and we'll be
right back.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.